you're safe, you're out. What are you talking about? I'm talking about sports and comedy. We're gonna cover it all. This is the Josh Wolf and Adam Ray Podcast. Good Call.
On today's Good Call Podcast, Adam's dance moves. Are the Clippers done? Party of Five. Courtside Celtics. Dad of the Year. And Josh shows Adam another disgusting fucking video. Check out all their stand-up tour dates at AdamRayTV.com and ComedianJoshWolf.com and follow them on Twitter at Josh Wolf Comedy and Adam Ray Comedy. And now here are your hosts, Josh Wolf and Adam Ray.
And I'm torn. I'll tell you why I'm torn, dude. I'm torn because I love the sentiment. And I love the fact that he loves his grandmother. And I love the fact that he fulfilled the promise. I love all that. But you don't even have like an 8x10? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
well,
a headshot? But
nobody would have been able to see that, you know?
But somebody would have said, what is that? And he would have said, I'm carrying a picture of my grandmother. I don't know. I mean, that's all. I'm not bagging on the dude because I think it's sweet and I think it's amazing. And I think the fact that he held on to that and fulfilled the promise and felt like he really was doing that for his grandmother is amazing. And
I mean, it says here, I made that promise to her. This is, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Takarist McKinley.
Yes.
Who was selected by the Falcons, defensive end from UCLA.
Hell of a player.
Brought a framed photo of his deceased grandmother with him. And when he was interviewed by NFL Network's Deion Sanders, he said he had a nice little F-bomb. Where was the F-bomb placed in the sentence? Did you watch it?
Listen, it was emotional. He dropped an F-bomb.
He promised to his grandmother he was going to go to the NFL. He said 30 seconds later, she passed away. So
maybe she didn't want him to go to the NFL.
Yikes.
Maybe his...
Sanders asked McKinley about the emotions built up inside him for his grandmother. She means everything, man. It means everything. He replied, I completed the promise. That means every fucking thing to me. Excuse my language. Find me later, man. Find me later. This means everything. You know what, dude? I love that shit.
But
that's,
I love
that's
it too.
Raw emotion.
Me and too.
We don't get enough raw emotion.
Honest,
in sports.
Yes.
That's caught on tape. We get a lot of somewhat controlled, you know, like post game. Like even Isaiah Thomas, man, like who's, I mean, obviously he just can't like hold back anything. Like if he's going to cry pre-game, post-game, during game, it's going to happen because that's just, you can't even, but this type of excitement and emotion, like, dude, what would, I mean, can you imagine getting, like, playing as a kid and then you're like, now I'm in the NFL? Like, dude, you should, it's almost like they should be like, look, you get 10 F-bombs a year and fucking, if you want to use them all on draft day, that's your call.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm on board with all of that. I'm on board with the emotion. I'm on board with the F-bomb.
Everybody curses. It's like, stop. Look, players that get busted for like booze and drugs and beating women, yeah, that's a big no-no. And that you should be stripped of, you know, endorsements and money and fine. And because that is what, you know, kids are looking up to you for that. But like, dude, I remember when I first started cursing in the sixth grade, I loved it. I couldn't stop cursing until a kid in my neighborhood, when he was shooting hoops with us, I was like 12, he must have been 18, 19, and I was like, fucking this and fucking, I was like probably dropping the F-bomb too much. And he even said like, dude, you curse a lot. And I was like, oh man. And that like resonated with me because it was an older kid I looked up to in the neighborhood who was like, you curse too much. But still, I was like, you know, I wasn't really going to stop.
Yeah.
I pulled back, but also it was like, dude, kids are, I mean, one of my nieces, you know, said bullshit the other day. She's seven.
Seven.
You know. But, you know, and then she in turn had the balls to criticize me when I said bullcrap. She goes, you're not supposed to curse in front of us. I was like, you said bullshit 3 days ago. You fucking come down on me with your...
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with the emotion. My only question isn't even the picture. It's the size of the picture.
Right. I love that about you.
I mean, you find an 8x10 of you and your grandmother together?
By the way, yeah, an 8x10, yeah.
An 8x10 or a wallet size?
Can't do wallet size because he wanted people to see his grandma.
So 8x10, and then you had a great point. People wouldn't know what it was, but Deion would have said, because not too many people carried framed pictures on stage with them, Deion would have said, who will you care? Why are you carrying that? And he would do the whole story, and it would have been a great story. I'm just saying, it was like a poster size. That's all. I'm just, that's all. I'm not calling to question anything else.
Now, what family member would you, and it doesn't even have to be deceased. Like, I'm sure if his grandma was alive, he still would have brought that photo up and been like,
great question.
You know, because that his grandma, some people, when if they don't have, I'm sure, you know, some people are raised by grandparents.
Yeah.
If the parent situation isn't working out, you know.
I almost just said the worst thing ever.
What?
I can't.
Don't even say it.
No. Yeah. I can't.
Welcome back to Let's Move On. Yeah. And so.
Oh, by the way, you know how many people ask for that asshole picture that I showed you last show?
How many people ask for it?
Remember, because you were disgusted by it. You know how many people asked to see it? A zillion people were like, you got to send me that picture of the asshole you sent.
Well, yeah, because my reaction was priceless.
Oh, I have a new thing to send you.
Oh, God. Is that going to be a thing where you do every podcast and show it to me and get my reaction?
This one, I can't wait to send to you.
Oh, God.
Now, it's a little bit of a video.
What does that mean?
Well, it means...
It's either a video or it's not. It's a video. What are you fucking talking about?
It's 100% a video. Yeah, I don't know what I meant by it's a little bit of a video. Let's see if this is it. All right. This is... Oh, did I erase it? No.
Dude.
No.
Don't be an asshole right now. Don't do this to me.
No.
Well, I'm sure it's out there in the ether.
Found it.
Oh, God. I got to be honest. I was a little excited that I wasn't going to have to be.
Now, do you have anybody else who sends you these wonderful things?
Michael McDonald.
Oh.
From Mad TV and the Heat and Ghostbusters. He also, actually, I should have forwarded him that one. He is, dude, and he, I mean, he's, first of all, where do you find these? And how do you have enough storage in your phone? Shouldn't the iPhone at some point recognize the content that you're storing up?
I think it does.
Oh, boy. Josh Wolf video incoming.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm going to step you through this. I want you to know that there is a... Somebody sent me this this video.
I'm nervous. Like, I remember I used to get very nervous at the free throw line in elementary school and in high school when I was pitching baseball, and I have similar feelings right now.
Oh, just open it up, and I just want to hear and watch your reaction because it's really...
Keep your pants on.
It's... Oh. I mean,
this is one of your favorite videos. Yeah.
It really is, because the video, the picture that I sent you last time is one that elicits just an immediate response. And this just takes a second to just kind of, you know, it takes a second for the video to really get going. And yeah. But while you're watching the video, let me say this about the NFL draft and Roger Goodell and Philadelphia. Man, I hope Roger Goodell is basically booed. To like, they're trying to send him to a different planet. You know, he came out. Did you hear what he said recently about weed?
No.
That he was basically, he was like, you know, it's a dangerous, addictive drug, and he doesn't want our players.
Roger Goodell said this?
Yeah.
Dude, him and Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions said weed's just as bad as heroin.
Which it's ridiculous. But here's what's crazy to me. Adam, have you ever taken Vicodin or Xanax or anything like that?
Vicodin, yeah. Xanax, no.
But Vicodin.
I feel like I could use some Xanax.
Xanax is so good.
Is it?
Oh my God.
How do you get it?
You just go to your doctor.
Jesus, that's it?
Yeah.
And say, I'm stressed, man.
You know what you say? This is the easy one. If you really want the easy one, I fly all the time. I had a really bumpy ride about a month ago. And my last three flights, I've been anxious as shit. Do you have something that you can give me to knock me out on the planes? I took one of my friend's Xanax. It worked like a charm. Can I try that?
Well, yeah. You know what? I mean, I get why people get addicted. Look, I mean, when I had my ankle surgery from playing hoops, you know, I had to take the Vicodin to curb the pain. But then, you know, and it made me feel good. I think also it made me feel good because the pain was gone. But also, like, you're like, oh, man, you are doing a number on my body right now. Like,
yeah.
It's like just a full body orgasm. I get why people get addicted, but... At the same time, it's like, thank you know, and look, everyone's body's different, but like, thank God that I don't like how I like feeling sober is great, you know, and being able to like actually feel it, but like being high is great, but like you got to balance it out, like being, you know, sometimes the, like I would rather be stoned longer than like on a Vicodin high,
without a doubt. By the way, you know,
but it's good. I mean, shit, sometimes you can't control that. I feel like your body's like, yo, man. I love Vicodin. If you put it in me once, I'm going to fucking not let you go.
100%.
You're never going to forget that you did this to us.
Dude, you know, and Vicodin also stops you up so you can't poop.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm going to tell an incredibly embarrassing story about my cousin, and he's going to hate me. Okay.
Should we say his name?
Scott Wolf, Party of Five. You know who I am. Who he is.
Can Google he come him. On, by the way?
Yeah, when he comes down, he would love to. He's a huge sports guy.
When he comes down, what do you mean?
He comes down all the time.
From where?
He lives in Salt Lake, Park City.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go out there.
Oh, dude. How great is... Oh. Anyways, so he was in high school, and he was taking Vicodin. And nobody told him, you know, that Vicodin backs you up, like if you don't take... So he said that he was like... He had realized, you know, I hadn't gone to the bathroom in like maybe a couple days. He couldn't remember last time.
That's a while.
Yeah. So he goes in the bathroom and he's like,
isn't it great that you can recognize that as a person?
Yeah.
If you haven't pooped for 2 days, you're like,
it's important.
Shit, what's going on?
Yeah. Something bad.
Yeah.
Something bad. So he sits down. And at the time he sits down, he was like, oh, this is nothing's happening. Like, I can feel it, but nothing's moving. So he took a hand mirror just to see what was going on down there. And he said that he could kind of see in, but like, and he could see, but nothing was coming up. And he was like, this is a fucking problem. So he tried a lot of different things. He ended up with a hand mirror. Were you ready for this?
Oh, I don't know.
And toenail,
I feel like I should watch the video that you just sent me to
and toenail clippers. trying to coerce it out.
Why didn't he take
Scott
like,
Wolf is gonna hate me telling this story.
No.
He ended up going to his mom with the doctor and got him a pill.
A laxative.
But the doctor said, listen, this is gonna cause an explosion between your legs. And Scott was like, explain what you mean. And the guy was like, I'm pretty sure I explained what I mean.
Wait,
explosion. It's gonna come out.
So he got heavy duty. He didn't get like normal Ex-Lax Pepto-Bismol.
No, because it doesn't work on it. You need like a doctor induced and
after Vicodin.
Because it packs it in. But
or coffee. No?
Coffee doesn't I guess not. I guess you
everyone's
just need
asshole's different.
You know what? We should write a kid's book.
The sequel to Everyone Poops.
Yeah, everyone's asshole is different. Now I can't believe you haven't watched that video yet.
All right.
Now dig in and as you dig in, I'm going to...
Oh, God. How long is it, first of all?
Just a minute. But you'll get the gist of it.
Dude, just a minute?
You'll
for videos like this, that is an eternity.
You'll get the gist of it. I was watching the Celtics game.
By the way, congrats, man. And can I be honest? Isaiah Thomas is a Seattle boy.
Okay? Yeah.
Watch him play at UW.
Yeah.
Have a connection to him. Look, you're the same way. We're passionate about our cities and our sports teams. Our cities first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
Anything happens in the city, man, you feel... I can't imagine what you felt like when the bombing happened, right? During the marathon.
Yeah.
Just like, you know. So, I mean, watching... even if I wasn't from Seattle, I would feel for Isaiah Thomas because that's just so tragic.
Oh,
I mean, what the fuck? And then he still plays, but that goes without question. It's like, he has to play. The fact that he's playing well, you know, that's what's crazy because he needs that distraction. You need basketball. Like, you're... To sit and sulk, like his family, I mean, that's the worst. So he's distracted.
Yes.
But the fact that he's killing it is a whole other thing that's like, it seems like such a great sports story that everyone's like, he's playing for assists and all that. And yeah, and for sure, and that's probably on his mind constantly. But like, dude, emotionally, like, you know, I remember being in high school and having a bad day or like, if I got a shitty grade on a test, that might even affect a couple shots during the game.
Yeah.
Because that's when, like, you just... So I can't even imagine.
Dude, not only that, but Adam, did you see him lose his tooth?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I lose my tooth, I don't care what I'm doing.
No.
I'm going home.
Dude, if you lose your sister and then you lose your tooth...
I'm going home.
Your tooth, that doesn't even faze you.
No, dude. If I lose my tooth... There's a lot of injuries I might work through.
By the way, you toothless, by the way, is like...
Come on.
I mean, dude, you book a pilot like that.
Yeah, dude, with this Jethro hat and my hair doing doing right now...
You lose a tooth,
You're
America's new sweetheart. Oh, my God. Maybe that's the move.
This tooth is fake. I lost this tooth. I ran full speed. Okay. I was in my second senior year in high school. Don't ask. So I was in my second senior year in high school.
Put a pin in that.
Yeah, and I was in the gym. And it's cold in Massachusetts, and I was going to race this dude. Now, I know my strengths and weaknesses as an athlete. One of my strengths is that I was fast. I could run. I could definitely run.
Did you do track?
No, baseball, but I could run it down. Fast, huh? Yeah, I could run.
Are you still fast?
For probably about 10 yards, and then I think I would pull everything.
Fuck. So you haven't done like crazy. So yeah.
When's the last time you sprinted?
Playing pickup basketball.
Oh, dude, I haven't sprinted? Sprinted?
I mean, it's different. It's a different feeling.
Come on. I haven't sprinted. It gotta be.
Feels good every now and then.
No. But, dude, there are a couple injuries. Now, if I twist an ankle, I would lace it back up and get back out there. You know, a janky finger. I've played through one of those.
Yep.
If I lose a tooth, motherfucker, I'm going home. I don't care what I'm doing.
That's crazy.
Tooth?
It flew out. And, he found it on the court.
It was a whole tooth, dude.
I'd be so embarrassed that I wouldn't be able to see it. I'd be like, just keep going. Nothing happened.
Dude.
You're bleeding from your mouth. Shut up. You are. Like, I just keep going.
You're losing a tooth. No, you are.
But he picked it up and he went out and then he kept playing. What did they do? They just put in some gauze or something. Right?
I mean, what do you do?
Because you're bleeding from the mouth. So they probably had to put something in there just to stop it.
But it came out so clean. I don't think there was a lot of blood.
Yeah. Wow.
When I shattered my tooth. And I shattered it. I swallowed it. There was a little bit of blood, but not a lot. I'm surprised. I ran into a door full speed, did not break my nose, but shattered my tooth. Thank God. Knocked myself out. Clean out. When I woke up, people were standing around me laughing because they were in high school. They were like, all I remember is, ha, ha. I just hear this faint.
You're numb. Everything's numb.
Oh, I was just
dude, a shot to the mouth is like one of the worst feelings ever. Like, oh. I mean, a shot to the nose, like the numbing you feel.
What about a kickball to the face?
Dude, what about a basketball to the dick?
Basketball to the face also is humiliating.
Basketball to the face is the worst, but basketball to the dick, you're not sleeping right for at least 6 weeks. I was fucking running to the sidelines. The guy was trying to save the ball. Right, and he grabs it in seventh grade, grabs the ball as he in midair and is looking to like save it, like to you know, grab it as he jumps in midair as the ball is bouncing before it goes out of bounds, and he's looking to fucking save it back in bounds, and he can't see anybody, so in one motion he just goes, oh, throw it off the opponent who's closest to me, who's me, and I have my arms open to catch it and my legs spread, being like, there's no way he'll throw it to my dick. And it was a perfect fake out. He grabs the ball in midair and is looking over me like at players, and then the last second just looks right down at me and goes whoosh, and the ball just goes right on my dick. I mean, dude, you literally heard that, like that sound, like a popping sound. I've never heard a whole fucking
gym go quiet,
gym of no of parents and of just everybody go oh, because it was, dude, the sound was like, and I went
did
down
you play through it.
Oh, I was out for the game. This was early second quarter, dude. Numbness in my dick did not go away. I'm surprised nobody was like, should we take you to the hospital? I mean, good thing I hadn't like started fucking or jerking off yet, because...
I have to tell you, and we'll get off. I like those shoes, by the way. I have to
just
tell
got
you.
Got them.
Those are sweet.
Thanks, bud.
I have to tell you, and we'll get off the dick stories, but I got hit with a baseball bat in a fight in the nuts. And I had to go to the hospital, and for 3 days, basically, had to decide between boxers and briefs, because they both...
Yeah,
had dangers.
Yep.
The boxers were good because they didn't constrict, but there was a little too much jingle jangle. You know what I mean? Yep. I needed them to be still.
Yeah.
But the tighty whities, a little too tight.
Yeah.
It was, it's not a comfortable, not a, I can't believe you, I'll get you to the video. I can't believe you haven't watched it. Are you?
Now? Well, I want to talk about Isaiah Thomas a few more minutes.
Okay.
I do want to say that that's my squad now, because you know what he's gone through, but the Seattle ties. And look, after I lost the Sonics, I've said this before, I root for players now. Hold on.
I'm getting you to the spot.
I don't even want to look at the first image, and you already showed it to me, and I already don't want to watch it.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas is from Seattle, right? Jamal Crawford is from Seattle.
Yes.
So I root for the Clippers because it's LA and because of Crawford. Now the Clippers lost.
How do you feel? Were you
stunned?
I think
they're going to blow it up.
Me too.
I think... Blake, Paul, and DeAndre, that is a powerhouse of three guys, dude. And they, I think it's wrong for them to go with that core, we can't make it work. Yeah, you can. You just got to fill it out, man. Like, you need what Cleveland and Golden State has on the role player side. And you've got some good guys, man. You got to get rid of Redick. I'm tired of that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So important for that team to have a spot up three, though.
I know, but you can get it elsewhere.
I think if Redick leaves,
and
which I think he will,
yeah,
I would not
Redick's
be stunned.
Go get somewhere. He'll go to Phoenix or something and get like a nice $30 million contract for like
you think so?
Six,
I think he'll go to
New York.
No, I think he'll go to a team that is a shooter away. I mean, listen.
Wow, yeah.
If Cleveland
he's actually in a dope position.
Had Reddick, if Cleveland had Reddick, well, they have Korver, so
they're
you're
Korver,
fine.
They're fine.
You're fine. But who, I could see Reddick going to the Spurs.
Oh, yikes.
I could see him go to the Spurs.
Yeah.
I could also see him going to the Rockets, dude, with Harden kicking out to him.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Now they got enough shooters, dude.
They do.
Lou Williams and.
That's true. But like, and honestly, I would love to see, as a Celtics fan, I would love to see Blake Griffin in Boston.
Who do you trade? Horford for that straight up? You have to.
Well, isn't Griffin a free agent? I think he's a free agent.
Yikes.
I think he's a free agent. That's what I think he's a free agent. And we'd have to take a look at that. But
well, no, because I mean, they would have traded him this year, right? If they didn't do that, they
but do you,
you don't just let him go. You got to get something for him.
I would hope so. I also think, look.
Melo for Griffin, still, they should probably try to do, right?
I'm not a fan of Melo. I mean, I'm a fan of him as an offensive monster. But as somebody on your team, although, you know, all the reports coming out of USA Basketball was that he was a great leader and a great teammate, but he gets to the Knicks, dude.
Yeah.
Once the ball touches his hands, it's gone.
Yeah.
Do you want Melo on your team?
No.
You want James Harden on your team?
Yeah.
Would you take James Harden or Kawhi Leonard?
Man, I mean, they're in such, Harden's the guy on his team, and Kawhi is, I guess, right?
But Kawhi's a two-way player, though. For me, he plays defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kawhi's bigger, too. Yeah, and Kawhi's younger, and he's...
Yeah. I got an even better question for you, because you know basketball way better than I do. I've been watching John Wall. That dude is a monster. And I don't think there's any doubt he's the best point guard in the East.
Yep.
I put him above Isaiah. I put him above Kyrie. Do you put him above any of the guys out West? Russ, Harden, or CP3? I'm assuming those are your top three.
Yeah, CP3. He's you know, he's just so inconsistent, but consistent.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's also. But
when Griffin's out, dude, he's got zero options.
Yeah, you're right. But the other guys are like true scorers. Like Paul doesn't go to the hoop as much as he used to. You know?
He's a true point guard. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, dude, he fucking,
he's so
dude,
good.
He's got great court vision, man. And like, I think
you still take those three up top.
I wouldn't take Westbrook. Dude, I don't know if Westbrook is ever going to. He needs the, now after these seasons he's had, like, he needs the ball. And like, how can a team, like, he'll eventually leave Oklahoma City.
I don't think he ever leaves.
Oh, wow.
I think he does what Reggie Miller did.
Wow.
You know, Reggie Miller could have left a bunch. And Reggie Miller wanted to try
to
win.
Yeah, but they had a dope squad in Indiana in night. When they went to the finals
and before that,
like when they should have gone, they had a dope squad.
I'm not sure Rick Smits could dunk at 7-5.
Westbrook doesn't have that squad. And look, it nothing pleases me more than seeing the Oklahoma City Thunder not figure it out.
Dude.
The fact that they didn't pay James Harden. Yo, they let James Harden and Kevin Durant go. Dude, they fucked up so hard. If you had paid Harden, Durant never leaves, and you win probably 5 to 6 championships.
They and the person that they replaced.
But let's give money to Cantor and Steven Adams and fucking.
I have to tell you,
Ubadabepo,
Oladipo,
whatever, man, not worth it.
I don't think the Thunder are that far away with how good Russ is. I just think he needs somebody. He needs Redick. He needs somebody that he can kick out to that's going to sink that shot. Look, when he was not on the floor, that offense was fucking terrible. And when he's on the floor, you know, it's so clear where the ball is going at all times. So I would love to see him get one spot up three guy. And I think next year, I think Steven Adams is getting better every year. I think
he is dope, dude.
I like him.
And you need bigs like that.
We, you know, we mentioned
that stash. It's like, oh, so fuck. Good. We need more guys that just make character choices. You're like,
and I wasn't expecting the Australian accent.
No way, dude. But like, you need more NBA players that look like fucking faces on the game. Guess Who? You know what I'm saying? Like Kurt Rambis, goggles.
Yeah.
Or Moses Malone, goggles. Right.
Yeah, he had some goggles. Cream goggles.
Goggles. Fucking, you know. The mustache, the strong stash,
the
and the ponytail. Birdman tattoos and the weird haircut. Like,
I will tell
you,
stop
needing to be so cool on the court, man. Go crazy with your look.
We mentioned the Indiana Pacers, the Reggie Miller Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
To me, hands down, the ugliest team ever assembled.
The Pacers?
That Pacers squad.
Let's think about it. Antonio Davis,
Rick Dale Smith.
Davis, Rick Smith. Derek McKee was a baller and a Seattle dude. And he, you know, he
all you need
crushed.
To say as far as ugly is Rick Smith, Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, talented as fuck. But that was an ugly group. And the Celtics have had some ugly groups. Look, maybe the Celtics had the ugliest team with Bird, McHale, Dennis Johnson.
Robert Parrish. Robert Parrish was 29 and looked like he was 89.
I know. With that shot, dude.
But so good, dude. You were like, is my grandpa playing basketball?
The way he ran up and down the floor, I was like, oh, he's about to die. Like, he's not going to make it back down the floor.
Do you think Bird crushed it? I mean, do you think he was looking at Magic and being like, man, you got to slow down, man. You're going to get AIDS. Or do you think he was just like, you know what I'm saying?
I hope he did.
But do you think Bird, like, I mean, come on, dude. Those crushed guys were running the world at one point.
And listen, they were.
And Bird, you're from the Midwest where you were tractor trailer, cornfields, shooting hoops on a fucking.
And they were wearing shorts where they had tucked their dicks in.
And look, I just find it hard to believe that any athlete at the top of their game is not succumbing to temptation at some level. Whether it's drugs, pussy, or open gym, no sign-up fee. You know, maybe that was Bird's vice. I can go to this fucking.
You mean he didn't have to call next to the YMCA?
Exactly.
He just walked in and got
next.
And that
was his vice. And they were like, dude, Larry, come fuck these whores with us.
I bet you he drank.
Nah, man, I'm going to go to the YMCA where I don't have to pay.
I got next.
And I mean, I always got next.
I think they drank. He's from Indiana. I know McHale probably
but did he
drank
just drink it.
And
was so he was bros over hoes. Bird was just like, I'm gonna have a couple more fucking Coors Lights.
I don't know.
Fucking watch the sunrise. And they were like, but these girls literally will suck our dicks on your tractor. And he's like, nah, man.
Not on my John Deere.
By the way, I would never get a blowjob on a tractor. That's disrespectful to the tractor. And you're like, all right, man, you're a different kind of person, and we're not gonna be friends on or off the court. No, but I respect your game.
Yeah, this life has been wasted on you.
But you hear about like Isaiah Thomas, you know, like
never with no tooth.
Never would have guessed it. No, Isaiah Thomas. No, the older Isaiah. Oh. The real Isaiah Thomas.
The real Isaiah?
Well, I mean, the worst.
The worst
Isaiah.
Yeah.
You know, sexual harasser Isaiah.
Yeah.
So, but like, I would have never guessed that guy had that in him. But like Larry.
He's the smiling assassin.
Yeah, you're right.
He has such a nice little face. And he smiles, and he's so nice to you, and then he just stabs you right in the fucking back. He, though, man, there are a couple of injury games. You know, the Michael Jordan game, obviously.
Yeah.
But Isaiah against the Lakers. Have you ever seen that highlight where he twisted his ankle so badly?
Oh, yeah.
That fourth quarter, okay, that's a fun little game. So for you, we talked about the tooth, and I would never come back from the tooth. But what are the injury games that you remember the most? I'm sure Jordan. Or just injuries that people have played through. I'm trying to think. You know, there was that dude, and this is early. This is 70s, even before my time.
Yeah.
There was that dude who played in the Super Bowl with a broken arm. Jack Youngblood, maybe? And I think Terrell Owens played in that Super Bowl with a broken ankle.
I mean, Jordan played with the flu, but that's not.
But he looked rough. I think the toughest person, Kobe might have been the toughest person I think I ever. The injuries he played through, dude, you know, on his shooting hand. And when he tore his Achilles and walked onto the floor to shoot that free throw.
Oh, Kobe.
Walked onto the floor.
Yeah, that's
to crazy. Shoot the fucking free throw.
Yeah, but you're numb at that point. Everything, the damage has been done, and now you're just riding the wave.
Dude. You've seen people pop their Achilles in football. They get helped off. Yeah. Cart. They're not putting any wood. Dude walked on the court.
Yeah.
I think he might be, for me, the toughest athlete. Can I say that over a football player?
Yikes.
Is he the toughest? Is he the toughest basketball player you ever?
He might be.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Sean Kemp.
Dude, Kemp played through everything. Dude, first of all, too many P's.
No, I don't think so. I can never have too many peas and Detlef Schrempf.
Dude, Schrempf never got injured because he just looks like a guy that just moisturizes and stretches and just everything is where it should be.
I think he does this with his bangs like 40 times before he leaves the house. That's a good podcast. People can see that.
Dude, Shrimp is a guy that I would love to see behind the booth, you know, or on NBA Countdown with Beadle and Jalen. And
I want to see him doing karaoke, singing Rock Me Amadeus.
Dude, how much do you think you would have to pay Detlef Shrimp to sing at your wedding?
Ooh, well.
Because look, nobody is above fucking 10 grand to sing at a wedding when you don't do it. When you don't do something and they're like, yo, I'm going to give you this money to do what you don't do. And they're like, well, I've never been asked that. So that amount of money actually seems like a lot. And you're like, well, it is a lot because it's 10 G's. But you just have to learn that song. Do I have to be good at it? No, just show up and do it. But the fact that we got you is what people are going to be pumped on.
What's your song? If you were a wedding singer,
which is what will happen if the career takes a wicked turn.
Listen, and I say this as complimentary, you'd be a great wedding singer.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that you said that.
What's your opening song? What's in your set list?
I mean, I do most of the wedding singer stuff.
Would you?
Yeah. No, you go.
I think I open with Celebration.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with that. People love Kool & the Gang.
And
that song is such a fucking, like, dude, you just, everybody, it's a feel-good song. It's a crowd pleaser.
Are there certain songs you think you dance to better?
Oh, yeah.
Did I ask you this before? If you were going to rate yourself 1 out of 10 as a dancer?
No.
Where do you feel you rate?
Yikes.
You can rate yourself as a slow dancer first, and then as a out on the dance floor.
Slow dancer, I'm great. I figured that out early on.
What's your move?
I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I just, it's a good balance of like being close. You don't want to stay close the whole time,
right?
You know, and you break away for a minute. You like be funny while you're doing the slow dance. You know,
that's key.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever?
Oh,
I know you got a good voice.
Be funny, yeah.
Do you ever sing a little bit in the?
Oh my God, for sure. I remember the times that I have done it. Dude, and I remember there's always like this middle ground when you start to sing and you're like, do I joke sing or do I really go for it? Because if this is a song in my range and I go for it and the moment's already right and you're singing to her, good night. Can we just fucking put pause on the wedding and everyone just watch us fuck on the dance floor?
By the way, if you're a wedding singer, you're getting hired back.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah, so you sing if you bring it in real close.
Yep.
But also, Celebration's a good one.
But where do you rate yourself as a fast dancer? And what's your move? Do you have a dance?
I mean, there's a whole entourage of moves coming with me.
Any popping and locking? Any popping and locking at all?
A lot of made up moves. There's probably four to six like real moves that you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that like before, like a sporting event or a bingo tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Bingo tournament.
Yeah, places where you're like, oh shit, people dance like that still. And then you see me do something where you're like, oh, that looked like a new move that nobody's ever done before.
So you sound like you're going to throw out like a 7.5 type number.
No, I'm gonna stay low 7 range.
Low 7?
Yeah.
You figure like you're not embarrassing yourself, but nobody's ever like, hey, let's go watch Adam dance.
No, but they're like, let's go dance with Adam.
Let's go dance with him. Yeah.
I go for it. There's also been a few weddings where I do remember just bringing it, where it's like it was the end of the night and there was like a good vibe with the last 20 or 30 people that kept dancing. The DJ felt that we were still in it, so he was like, I'm going to still be with you guys. There was enough props and streamers and fucking weird sunglasses and like the perfect amount of drunk too. You got to be the perfect amount of drunk to stay on
that's
the dance
key.
Floor.
That's key. For me, there's a couple things. And my last question about, are you a sweat dancer? Do you sweat it up?
Well, if you're doing it right, you're sweating for sure.
Here's my thing. I need to have the right amount of cocktail. Yep. But there's one song in particular that makes me think that I can dance better than anybody in the world.
What is that?
It's called Erotic City by Prince. And for whatever reason, when Erotic City comes on, I'm like, I'm the best dancer of all the dancers ever, ever. You know the song?
Yeah.
There's something about it where I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is my jam.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? I don't want to say I black out, Adam. I don't want to say that I go somewhere else. I don't want to say that it's somebody else entering my body, but it's pretty fucking close. And for whatever reason. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I know what I think I look like when I dance, and I know what I look like when I dance.
Do you?
I've caught myself high at my house with the music on, and then you kind of catch a reflection. You're like, damn.
Well, first of all, just looking in the mirror when you're high, like,
is, yeah. When you see your eyes,
dude.
Adam, did you look in the mirror that night after you had that edible?
Yeah, dude. Dude, I mean, at least I thought I did. Can I be honest? I don't know what the fuck really happened that night. And that is a scary sentence to say.
You know what?
All I remember is dancing on the patio.
See? You were dancing?
Yeah, but it wasn't a happy dance, man. But they were moves I'd never done before. So, you know, if I can remember what, if I can tap into physically what I was doing that night and bring that to a wedding.
Have you gone back to an edible since that night?
No. I've been close, but I immediately think of that and I go, dude, I can't even fuck with it.
Oh,
dude, never.
Are you ever drunk or high on stage?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Can't. Because now that I...
You improv a lot.
Yeah. So I you're just not, you know, and there's been times when I've been a little, like more buzz than I would like, and I end up, but it's not planned. It's like I'll never actively allow that to happen. But it's like if I go to the Laugh Factory then late night, and it's like, you know, the midnight show, and I'm there just hanging out because, you know, I'm living close there, and then they ask me to go up, and I'm like, oh man, I'm maybe not in a good place, but then I want to go up,
yeah.
And so then I end up doing some crowd work, and it's actually it just lock in, but. But I know it's never as good as it can be because you're just not. If you don't have all your wits about you, you're just not 100%. At your best.
You know what I sometimes I get high if I'm stumped writing because I need my brain to open up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You ever do that? By the way, we should mention, and I've mentioned the roast of Big Poppy is coming up. Tickets will be on sale this week. And I told Adam this, I don't mind telling everybody this. Adam Ray is the final name that we're trying to slip into that.
Yeah, we're trying.
So it, guys, if you're in Boston,
fuck dude, what is,
it's going to be Gronk, Pedroia, Burr, Anthony Mackie, me, you,
Chris Tucker,
Sarah Tiana,
Burr,
Lenny Clark,
you said Burr.
Bill Burr. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Where's it going to be held at?
House of Blues, right across from Fenway. And the next night he gets his jersey retired. Poppy gets his jersey retired in Fenway. You know, I miss the Yankee Red Sox rivalry. I hope it comes back. I really do.
Yeah. Well, who needs to hold up their end of the bargain right now? The Yankees, right?
Well, the Yankees are playing well, but they're just a good young team. So you haven't had a chance to really hate anybody.
Well, you can't get that rivalry back until you've had longevity and
some bad blood. You need somebody to get beaned. You need something.
Yeah. Like what was the original? What insinuated? That's not the right word. What created the first rivalry? Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah, and just the fact that we were their bitch for so long. I mean, I didn't even call it a rivalry, dude, because even up to 2003 when people were, what about that Yankee-Red-Sox rivalry? I'm like, we always lose. What's the rivalry?
Well, it's two good teams in the same division.
Now, 2004 is when it
just but before up. That, I think it was good.
It was still good.
When did Don Zimmer get fucking taken out by Pedro?
2003, I believe.
Well, I feel like before that it was starting to creep up.
Oh, you know,
When that happened, it was on, dude.
But before, what I was going to ask you is from an outside point of view, with somebody with no skin in that game, do you like seeing the rivalry too? I've always wondered that. Like, I love watching Ohio State, Michigan. I love rivalry.
Oh, but, it sucks when the 49ers got shitty because that Seahawks Niners rivalry was great.
Was you amazing for a couple of years.
And now it's great. And look, now the Cardinals and the Rams give us a lot of trouble, but that's not a rivalry. Like,
no.
Because there was no, like, Crabtree and Sherman and.
So do you still get invested in other teams? I know I do. In other teams' rivalries? Like, not a Seattle team.
If it's, I mean, Red Sox Yankees for sure. That was fun. But you need events like that transcend the connection you have to the team. You need a pitching coach, right? Or batting coach?
Don Zimmer? Just a human gerbil.
You need an old man rushing the field, getting tackled by a pitcher. Like, you need that to go, oh, fuck yeah. Now I got to pick my side.
Yeah.
Like, now you presented me with, you gave me the, you know.
What sport has the worst fights?
Basketball now.
Baseball
because they're going to get fined. Basketball now because they know that it's like
that fly has been bothering the fuck out of you. I can see it. You've been following it with your eyes. You think basketball has the worst fights? Nailed it.
Got him. See ya.
You think basketball's the worst fights?
Yeah, dude, because back in the day, now they're going to get fined. They're not. They're way more concerned about that. So now it's like shoves, they'll get in their face, and then they wait. They know their teammates are going to pull them out of it.
No punches.
So then they wait, and they don't. No, no punches.
Same with baseball, right?
And like, dude, the hard fouls is as close as you get in basketball.
I miss playoff basketball.
Dude, I mean, YouTube the Pacers-Pistons fight every year just to remind yourself how great sports can be.
Dude. Just what about McHale taking out Rambis?
Yeah, I don't need you to go into the stands Artest style, but I need you to fucking, I need you to grab people and straight up throw them to the ground every now and then. And look, those guys, what's crazy is those guys never, they got up and they kept playing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and then these refs are so quick. It's just like, dude, stop. Enough with the PC culture of like letting it bleed over into the game. I mean, the NFL fights you never really buy because they got padding and helmets.
And helmets. And when I see them fight in the NFL, and I'm like, are you swinging your fist at a helmet, you stupid motherfucker?
Dude, rushing the mound in baseball. I mean, even when I went to a Mariners game last time I was home and our manager got fired up and got thrown out, that was awesome, dude. Because just the buildup of him staying out there, and he's arguing, and then there's a great moment when the crowd feels that like, oh, shit, he's not going back in. You know, because sometimes they come out and they talk, and then also when they're talking, the ump starts to walk away, and the manager follows him. And then he's got his finger right in his face.
Yeah.
And then when the ump turns around and it's just like, and then everyone starts going nuts. And what's great is like, you know that the umps feel the energy in the moment.
Hell yeah.
So they go, oh, now the crowd's getting, it's building. It's almost like telling me what to do here.
Yeah.
So I know that like, I'm going to follow this crescendo and I'm going to throw him out and fucking get. And then the crowd went nuts when he got thrown out because it was, even though it was our manager, it was like a cool thing. But
it's
like,
fun to watch.
Dude, pitchers, I mean, you know that pitchers go out of their way to bean people.
Of course.
It's like...
But I don't have a problem with that. I honestly... Look, as long as you're beaning somebody, you know, below the head, and if it's a payback, I think that the inside part of the plate is yours. I think football fights are the worst. Because...
Wait, why?
Everyone's got pads on.
Oh, the worst as far as...
Just
okay.
Stupid. The lack stupidest. Of severity. The... Dumbest,
yeah.
Because you got pads, and you're gonna break your hand, or what is
unless they take the helmets off? You know, like in hockey, sometimes they'll take off their gloves and shit, and they're
no,
like,
hockey fights.
Come on,
it's not even close. The fact that somehow every other sport has gotten to the point where we don't want anyone getting hurt. Just make sure they don't hit each other.
And
no,
the,
no
I think
head
the fines have probably gotten bigger, right? The
except
more money they make
in hockey, they still just let those guys go out there and beat the shit out
of each
other.
They get fined.
Well, you listen. They're getting more careful with headshots and checks like that. But fights? Do you get fined? No, you just get a penalty.
Wow.
And there are guys on the team. You know, I have a friend of mine named Sean Thornton, and Sean played for the Bruins and he played for Tampa Bay, but he was an enforcer. That was his job. Now he also played some hockey, but his job, when he got on the ice. There was a pretty good chance that he was going to punch someone in the face.
Oh, my God.
That's your job. That's the thing like with boxing, right? So I get it, sweet science, huh? But part of my job is getting punched in the face. I'm out. I'm out so fast. That's like MMA. You know, I did one I used to take Krav Maga.
Yeah.
And we were on the ground once, and this dude was doing a move, but his asshole ended up in my face. And I tapped, and he goes, you hurt? I go, no, just your asshole's in my face. Like... this isn't a real fight, and so I'm going to tap out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Hey,
like,
man.
Do I have the option, right, of tapping out?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, your asshole's in my face. Like, that's the killer move. I don't know, you know, but for me, football fights are the most ridiculous because they've got helmets on. It's so silly. At least with basketball, like somebody threw a punch this play, or right before the playoffs, Lopez and... fuck, dude. They both threw a punch. It missed Lopez's face by a...
Who?
Oof. Why can't I remember?
And he just missed him.
Like a...
But even that, they know. They know that they're not even getting close. Like, they just don't, like...
Best sports fight you've ever seen?
Because you get fined for the attempt.
Yes.
You don't get, like, but that fine's going to be way less than the actual, like, contact.
Best sports fight you've ever seen?
Live, I think it was Jim Leyritz and Randy Johnson at the Kingdom. Randy Johnson beating Jim Leyritz in the fucking head, and the bench is cleared, and it's and also it was just cool. I'd never seen Randy Johnson in a fight before.
Dude, like, if somebody's throwing 100 and hits your head, you're gonna be mad as shit.
Yeah,
that dude was super intimidating with a great mullet.
Yeah, and look, I've got two quick Randy Johnson stories. Randy Johnson, 1995, when I went to spring training in Arizona, and he, you've waited long enough for the players, they come out and they sign stuff for you. And I run up to his Ford Bronco that had, like, you know, crazy orange and red stripes alongside the car, and he pulls up, and everyone sees it's the big unit, and everyone runs towards him, and he just fucking rolls down the window and goes, "Back away from the car!"
Yeah.
And everyone fucking freaked out, and as everyone, like, retracted, I saw that as an opening, so I just shoved my ball right up, and then he grabbed my ball first and signed it. I still have it.
Do you have it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it over on the...
No, I should bring some of that stuff down to, from Seattle. I've got A-Rod, Barry Bonds, Matt Williams.
Barry Bonds?
Yeah, dude, because the Giants were at that Mariners same facility in Peoria, Arizona for years. They still are. But so that was 95 when Bonds, Matt Williams...
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, dude. And so I was at the prime of, like, wanting autographs, so I got a lot of dudes, but... I don't know how much those balls are still worth. A-Rod ball, probably not as much. I think after the roids, that dropped his value, but...
You know what? You're going to have to wait and see if he hits the Hall of Fame. As soon as... If people hit the Hall of Fame...
But is that stuff even worth what it's worth, what it used to be worth? I don't think so.
If it's...
I couldn't buy a house off of Barry Bonds' ball.
No, but you could buy a Bonds off of Barry Bonds' 716th home run.
Could you?
Not his 16th anymore. You could probably buy a ball... you could probably buy a house... Maybe not a house. You probably get $100,000 for his last home run ball.
God, that's it.
You could Google it right now. How much did they sell Barry Bonds' record breaking? Oh, that video is just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. We're gonna wrap up in the next five, and then I'm gonna pull it up.
Are you going to do Kill Tony?
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Yeah,
it's a great one.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Dude, I'm so excited about football season already.
Are you really?
The Patriots.
Is it your favorite the
preseason,
lead up?
Yes.
The lead up to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, once the draft hits, then it's all in football. People go all in.
Well, I even still though we have baseball.
Yeah. And also, like, the basketball playoffs are great right now.
Yes.
And you're very much in the thick of it. You are not gonna beat the Cavaliers.
No.
But guess what? I say that. But I almost don't believe myself when I say it, because I just think that, like, the Celtics are, like, so young and so hungry and, like, kind of mysterious. And look, the Cavs are just dominant, but the big three got to play just so great. And LeBron is unstoppable. But
unstoppable.
I feel like you can steal some games. I feel like,
I think it goes five or six.
It'll go six for sure.
Here's the thing. Jacob and I, when we were in Boston, we went and... Have I been here since I sat courtside? I've been here.
No.
Since we sat courtside at the Cavs?
No. Oh, yeah. I did see you on TV a bunch.
Yeah. So we were there, man. But the Cavs were so much better. So much better. And the problem was after IT, after Thomas, and they can they basically shut him down. And after him...
Who steps up? And the other guy's only good because Thomas is... Good.
Avery Bradley's. I love Avery Bradley's game, and I love Marcus Smart.
Crowder.
Yeah, but they got a great defensive team.
But they've gotten more confident after this last series.
I agree. Listen,
that was weeks ago.
Five, maybe six. You want me? Did I ever show you how close we were? I showed you.
You sent me a picture.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Was that unbelievable? By the way,
it was most unbelievable, if I'm being honest, because it was so. It was so. Jacob thought it was so cool.
Yeah,
and he was like, you know, there are a couple things. Yeah, if I can bring it down for a second.
Yeah.
He said something to me after that game. He said, first he said, thank you. I said, why? You don't have to thank me. He goes, no, thank you for everything. I go, why? He goes, you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but you've allowed me to do some really amazing things.
Yeah.
And I'm only 19. And he was like, I don't know if I've ever thanked you for providing me with this life, but I just like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's really...
It's cool that he recognizes that.
Yeah, man.
Because he knows his friends don't get that life.
Yes.
And look, you got to a place to where, like, those things are possible, but then it's like, but then you choose to include him in them, you know? Where you could easily be like, I'm going to take a buddy to that game.
Yes, but you know what?
Who lives there or something.
When I see videos of you with your niece.
Yeah. Nieces.
Nieces.
Yeah.
But, dude, when they get older...
Yeah.
I can... It's like... That'll be your first instinct too.
They'll still dig me, right? Tell me they'll remember all this shit.
They will.
Yeah.
They will remember all of it. And they'll also remember that you're like fun
yeah.
Uncle Adam.
Yeah.
But when you, because by that time you'll be able to provide them with a ton of shit. That very first time, dude, it's going to be the best feeling you've ever had.
Yeah.
Just be when
Were
you see
really,
the
look, yeah.
You see the look on their face
yeah.
and you're like, I can't believe it's in my power to provide that type of joy.
Yeah.
It's super cool, dude.
Yeah, man.
So that was an amazing thing for me.
And you guys had to like rush to the game. You got there late and
it was my fault. Missed the first flight.
Fuck.
Then we ran over
Thank God you got there though.
JetBlue. I ran over JetBlue. I'm like, we need two seats. And they were like, we don't have two seats. I'm like, mm-mm. We need two seats.
What?
Really desperately need two
seats. But they said they didn't have two seats.
They were like, well, the seats are, they're like in the way up front.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. They were like, do you understand? Like, this is going to be,
yeah.
You're buying it with an hour from the flight. Like, this is not Fuck. A cheap ticket. And I was like, What? I was like, what can we do? And they were like, so what they let me do.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
I don't want you to fucking.
I don't want to. But I'll tell you. But basically, we ended up.
You worked it out.
Yes.
Wow.
On that flight.
Good for you.
Dude, so
do
good.
You don't take no for an answer in those situations, do you? There's always a will. Look, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
And then don't be a dick about it.
Not
be
a
nice.
Dick.
And be like, look, if you can't, you can't. And then when they're like, we can't, then you go, but can you?
Yeah.
And they go, oh.
But I played, I said, you see my son back there? And they're like, yeah. I was like, listen, I told them the whole thing. My fault, we missed the first flight. But, you know, this is, we get something. It's on his
great
dream.
You pull the sun card, by the way. Yeah.
Oh,
dream,
yeah.
Drop dream.
Oh, yeah. And like, this is going to be crushing. How do I make this happen for
Hanks? And look, and they, were they not slammed? Because if they're dealing with so many other things, like that's, you're another notch on the belt.
She was so nice and made it happen, dude. Made it happen.
Wow.
But I can't wait. Oh, and by the way, I reached out through my person.
Yeah.
To the Mariners, if they're listening, about the first pitch. So just so you know, I didn't forget that.
I appreciate that.
All right. You're going to watch the video.
Barry Bonds, by the way, a record-breaking 756 home run ball sold for
$752,467. Jesus. How much would you pay for it if you had all the money in the world?
Oh, my God.
$8?
Maybe.
Yeah, me too.
How much is a fucking turkey ranch and Swiss at Quiznos? That much.
I could, if someone
I
gave it to
that
me,
much
I'd be like,
for
yeah.
a Griffey ball, dude. Because it's, no. yo, that is fucking, it's sold for that.
It's a ball.
Dude.
What are you going to do with that ball?
Eventually, you're going to get it stolen or lost. Also, how many people are you entertaining when they come in? I mean, look, if you got a dope house and you bring, like, yeah, you that's cool to show it off. And that's probably really cool. But guess what? All it takes is one person to see it and be like,
yeah. Okay.
And you're like, oh fuck, it wasn't worth it.
I want you to.
Right?
I want you to. I'm at your house, and you're gonna show me the ball. Yeah. I'll tell you what my reaction is. Give me your whole spiel.
Josh, good to see you, man.
What's up, man?
Dude, been a while. So I don't know if you know, but we put in a new pool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's in the kids'
saline
room.
Saline
or? It's in the kids'
room. Oh, in the kids' room. Good
idea.
Yeah,
look, they wanted the pool. You just got to give it to them. You know?
A fence around there?
Pool
or no?
Or college. No fence. No good. Fence. Right in the bedroom. Did get that new fridge, though, for Kristen. She wanted a second fridge. So
for the bedroom?
For the bedroom, yeah.
She's really going to peel off that midnight eating.
She's up to 552 pounds. And look, would I normally be upset about
what
that?
What sleep number is that?
Dude, we don't even have a sleep number. It's just, well, look, she's
a little bigger.
She's big, but you know, it's a lot of fun.
Warm, like, in the winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have, we save a lot of money on blankets. So look, I picked up a couple things on eBay.
Uh-huh.
One, I got a Steph Curry pube. And I got an Isaiah Thomas tooth.
Just out of curiosity, who was selling...
How did I get the pube?
Yeah, who was selling that?
I don't know who was selling the pube, but they sold it, and I know who bought it. And
how much you buy that for?
Look, I'm not going to tell you, Josh. That's a personal $450,000.
That's not terrible.
That's not terrible.
Did you keep it in your wallet?
Oh, I'll show you. I'm going to take you to the pube room. I've got separate rooms for each of my collectibles.
Okay.
And the main one I want to show you is a Barry Bonds ball. You know Barry Bonds.
Yeah, yeah.
Steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Home run king.
Yeah.
A legend. One of the first Pirates to put Pittsburgh on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this ball, Josh, that he hit the 756 home run.
Yeah, how much you buy that for?
Dude, I got it for a steal. $52,000. That ball should have gone for $5 million at least. $752,000, Josh.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Are you ever going to take that ball out?
Oh, it's in a case.
Yeah, you ever going to take it out?
Take it out where?
Take it out
to the mall?
Yeah. You ever going to play with it?
It's a collectible, Josh. Yeah. You keep it in the case. You show it off to friends.
Let me ask you
invited
something.
You over to show you the Barry Bonds ball.
If I went and got a ball.
Sure.
And put it on my mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And told everybody it was the Barry Bonds ball.
Yeah.
And yours is on your mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say? Who's to say I don't have the ball?
Well, but I have the ball.
Yeah, so. But who's to say? I could just tell everybody.
I bought it.
Yeah, but I could tell everybody it's the ball.
No, this
I have the same ball.
You can tell the dirt, the scuff of the ball.
But my ball does the same exact thing your ball does.
Well, mine has the engraving, Barry Bonds, 756 home run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, but my ball does the exact same thing. Actually, my ball, I take out in the backyard and I like play with it. It actually does things.
Well, you're ruining the value.
You're ruining the value.
By keeping it in the case.
By buying a ball for $750,000. I think that let's think of all of the things that you could have done with $750,000. Let's think of the weekend you could have had in Vegas. Let's think of the week you could have had in Vegas.
Well, why would I blow my money on Vegas, Josh?
Your money on a fucking baseball.
I invested in a fucking conversation starter.
But is this a fun conversation?
I'm having a blast. No, so sad inside. That guy's so sad.
So sad.
He regrets it.
Dude, because he was
day two after
I'm going to bring everybody over. They're going to look. And this is exactly what happened. People walked over. They looked at the ball and they went, oh. And they walked away.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oops.
Nobody jumped up and down. Nobody jerked off on your ball. Blew you.
Isn't it funny? It's like you subconsciously want people to fucking take their dicks out and go, oh my God. But then as soon as they do that, you go, just don't get to come on the ball.
Yeah. That's going to devalue it. All right, here we go. Give me the video. Give me the video.
I got to watch the video and then
now,
we're going to wrap this up.
Do you want to go to just a part of the video that's...
No, I'm going to watch the whole thing.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to explain what you see?
Okay, a woman walks in. She's buck naked.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a very hairy vagina.
Yes.
And there's a relatively young dude.
Yeah.
Oh, the woman has one leg.
Yes.
The woman has one leg. Mm-hmm. And she's sucking the dude.
That's not the best part.
Wait.
What's happening right now?
She's putting on toothpaste on her hand. She's lubing up her nub. Is that his dick or her nub?
That's her nub.
She's putting her foot nub, wait a minute, in his ass?
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
She's going to have sex with his asshole with her nub leg.
Oh, she lubed up her nub and she's fucking his ass. Oh, no. Oh, and she's playing with herself at the same time.
How many people are you going to send that video to?
None. Oh, my God, dude. Her knee is outside of his asshole as she's playing. And he has his face in the pillow like he's getting a fucking deep tissue massage.
Yeah. You know why his face is in
the... Oh, my God. I'm watching her play with herself and fuck his ass with her leg.
Hey, listen, Michael McDonald, step up your game, pal. Step up your fucking game.
We'll see you next week. Go Celtics. Good call.
Sklar Brothers and Daniel Van Kirk here with
Andy Daly.
Welcome to the show, sir.
TV's Andy
Daly. What a surprise.
And he's going to be on Dumb People Town this week. And oh, damn, is he funny. A show that was designed for his talents.
Yes. Dumb People Town?
I agree with you.
Yes! There you go. Andy Daly, listen to it. You'll enjoy it.